When you're feeling kind of lonely and the world's got you down. When you're eating plain bologna and you can't shake that frown.
When everything is making you feel blue. When you DVR episodes of The View.
When all you want is to have no care. Lift your feet up high in the air. Look at your friend and say,
put her there. This ain't no hand jive.
Avoid all of life's booby traps.
Whack your palms with a big fat joyful slap.
Feel the connection of a single clap.
And you're alive.
You need the high five.
Hello and welcome to the High Five Podcast. I am your lovable host, Henry Huff, and with me, as always, is Reginald. V is for Vendetta and Virgin Valentine.
Not quite true, but halfway
true.
There.
So yeah. Not Vendetta?
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Welcome.
How's it going, Reginald?
Fine.
How was your summer? How was your camping trip?
Camping trip was great. Long days, long nights under the stars, outdoor movies with the kids, popcorn.
Tick searches with
Tick searches with the wife every yep. night.
Right.
But no, it was fun. Tiring, but camping is always tiring, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
Excellent.
How was your week off?
My week off was tremendous.
And you did?
I did a whole lot of landscaping. I totally, my mom needed some work in the backyard, so I decided I'd help her out, earn my keep a little bit. And
some sweet pea stone?
Plant some pea stone. No, plant some flowers and roll in some pea stones.
Easy on the feet.
Yeah, sweet. Much very nice on the feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. So that's what I did.
Hey, should we get back into it?
You want to?
Oh, well, let's talk about what we have actually available for listeners at the moment.
On the old docket. Oh, yeah. So please follow us on iTunes or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. We have multiple episodes out at this point.
Yep, two.
No. Well, at the time of this recording, you bozo.
Oh, yeah.
There will be at least five episodes available for you to stream.
I can't judge that because I'm used to live radio, but this is live recorded radio.
How many episodes are we going to record today? Do you want to talk about that again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on iTunes. I got nervous. I thought I deleted the subscription, but it's back thanks to the good people at Apple.
Unfortunately, people have been clamoring for season one. There, all this talk about how they can get a hold of our season one, our wonderful 8 season one episodes.
Yeah.
Those are currently unavailable. We're working on that as we speak. All the fan mail. We're listening to you guys. We're hearing your complaints.
Well, there may be a box set available at Christmas.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. But anyway, so follow us on iTunes if you can't find it. And make sure it's the High Five Podcast with the five. You know this because you're listening. And also on podomatic.com. And if you subscribe to the podcast, that makes us happy and feel good.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't even know what I'm saying. What's that word? Not justified. What's the word I'm saying when I feel...
satisfied?
No. Another word with a fied at the end.
Justin Timberlake?
No, like our work has got a purpose. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Verified?
Verified. Maybe.
Bonafide?
Yeah, one of those fides.
Okay, well, we'll get back to you on that when halfway through the episode you remember what word you're talking about and then say it out loud.
Okay.
We are going to introduce you to our guest so that we can get him involved in our conversation as quickly as possible. We are very fortunate to have him back. He was our guest on episode 8 of season 1. His name is Mark Thomas Hole, and he is with us. Hello, Mark Thomas.
Hello, gentlemen. Good to be back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the new format. I don't think you've... do you even know how we do the show nowadays?
I've heard, but I do believe we were going to do the rundown, so I would like to hear it again of what we're going to be doing today.
Oh, what we're going to be up to today? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just in case you didn't know, we have five sketches for you. Well, sketches, that's kind of silly. We have five segments for you today. The first is meet our guest, Mark Thomas Hole,
which we're in the middle of doing.
Yeah. So then we're going to talk about some business phrases. We'll get to that in a second. We have our favorite segment, Professor Valentine. We're going to talk about some animal combat, and then we are going to use the mouth spreaders. I don't know. Reg will tell us a little bit more about that in a little bit, but we're very excited about that. So, Mark Thomas, what have you been up to? Last we talked, just in case people don't remember, you are a community college English instructor and also the ultimate Frisbee coach for what school again?
Seacoast Community College.
Oh, Seacoast Community College. That's right. How could I forget? Right here in Sandy Dunes.
Right down the road. No, excited to be back. Excited to be back. We have a new season that's right around the corner for the Ultimate Frisbee team. I know I should talk about my job more, but that's really my passion. Expanded a little bit into Frisbee golf this year, but...
Is that the fall sport versus the spring sport?
That's the off-season sport.
Not as much running.
No.
Focusing on the throwing.
More the stamina and the strength element. It's a... You know, when you're dealing with high-level athletes, you don't want to burn them out, so you got to make sure that you're getting them off time, but not too much off time. So that's really more of a summer thing, but now we're rolling in. Championships come next June, which is right around the corner when you think about it.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Ways around the corner.
I've seen Frisbee golf. And those players, they carry like a full bag of multiple discs.
Correct.
It's true. My question, though, is I've never seen televised Frisbee golf. I'm wondering if the commentators also whisper during televised golf.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's the exact same as you would expect, except for the fact that it's far more challenging to play Frisbee golf than real golf.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, far more challenging. True athletes are actually playing Frisbee golf.
Wow.
Bold statement. Do they have caddies?
The pros, sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I've only had one or two players that have really been right on the edge. I mean, you know, scratch Frisbee golfers.
Scratch. Yeah. Are the goals holes or are they like ringed? Is it like a ring toss game?
Oh, so the holes themselves are actually a pole that goes up, a basket below it, and then chains that hang down. So it's a lovely noise that you'll hear, like where it clangs in there and it falls and sits so nicely in the basket when you get that hole. It's fantastic.
So wait, I don't understand. There's a pole, a hole, and chains?
It looks like one of those medieval, like, you know when you would set fire to like a medieval flame thing?
Personally, yes, I do recall doing that.
That's what they look like. It's like a chalice with like hanging chains.
I was going
to
go more.
That you could fill with like rags covered in gasoline and set fire to when the Vikings were coming.
Or picture a crow's nest on a boat with chains hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you throw, it hits into those chains and falls into the basket.
Right. Because think about it. You're throwing from standing height. It's impossible to throw down into a hole. So the hole's not in the ground. It's a raised hole, but it's also a 3D hole. It's a round.
Raised hole? Makes no sense.
It is. It's off the ground.
It's up. It's a basket.
It's in the air. So it's taking up space, but it's also a hole. That's paradoxically, it's impossible. It's literally impossible.
It's like a basket.
Well, then call it a basket then.
If I have a cup in the air.
One cup?
Is there a hole in that cup?
If I have two cups in the air,
there are two holes.
No, there's two cups.
There's a hole in the top of those.
There's a hole in the cup.
Correct.
Right.
So but there's not... a hole in the basket that you're throwing.
So it goes through the basket, through the hole.
It goes into the basket, into the top of the basket.
The top of the basket.
Top of the basket.
Right, but baskets don't have tops, so there's not a hole in the basket.
They have a hole at the top.
But by itself, the basket is open. That's what a basket is. A basket doesn't have a lid on it.
Correct.
So there's not a hole in the basket.
Henry, I think you're blowing the top off this game. We might have to redesign Frisbee golf.
I'm not even joking about any of this. I'm upset about it.
Have you never played?
No.
Oh, you've got to come out.
Okay,
I'll get you out with the team.
I used to be a frisbee golf counselor at a summer camp.
Get out of town.
One of my first jobs.
How do you find the time?
I just lied a lot when I was in my teens.
Did you have a full bag?
I had a full bag. That's how I know about it. And you can clip them onto your waist, and you have different pouches around the back, and you just pull them out like Batman utility belt.
Mm.
And they're very... it's not like a regular frisbee. They're like solid discs. You can really hurt someone because they're designed to fly like really far.
Liquid discs of regular frisbee.
Well, I think regular frisbees are wider; they're thinner. These are like saucers, like they're not curved. They're like
saucers,
flat saucers.
They're like Chinese Death Stars. That's how hard they are. And so for training for ultimate frisbee,
he understands Chinese Death Stars.
Well, Derek.
Big nod from him for that one, but.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm coming around here.
That's where we train with for the ultimate.
Anyway, this is just his off-season
and
training.
I really still have no idea what the baskets look like.
We got to get you out there.
Medieval.
No, I know.
Flame
yeah, I
chalice.
Know. Flame chalice.
There's one. There's a course right down the road in either direction.
Okay.
Get the team out there. It's a nice team building exercise during the summer months. And then first practice, double days begin next week.
Got to get that cardio back for the extreme.
Yep. Cardio. Strength, and really the camaraderie is the key. I mean, we bond as a team.
It's mental toughness too. Mental strength.
Sure. Yeah.
I have a question for your coach. Because all I've seen on Extreme Frisbee is like the YouTube highlights. Do you coach those like fancy diving or like between the legs, like over the top, like leapfrogging catches?
Oh,
are those
sure.
coachable?
Sure. Sure. I mean, there's an element of like, legit athleticism.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I recruit so heavily to get the highest level of athletes that I can. But then on top of that, you know, you can be a great athlete and not be a great ultimate frisbee player. There's true coaching that comes with that. I mean, that's why I was coach of the year last year.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, I forgot to mention. That should have been the lead, I guess. Coach of the year.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, there's a real, there's real benefits to come with that in the community college ranks. It's lucrative. $200 I got.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Big money.
Lifetime available to eat once a week at Hardee's.
Well, I see also that you're carrying in the disc, which I can feel now is actually heavier than and solid, unlike the regular frisbee that
well,
is not solid.
The golf discs.
Right. With your face. The etching of your face on it. That's Coach of the Year. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Coach of the Year 2017, it says right here.
You get to put that in your municipal coach's office that you share with all the other coaches? Or do you have your own now? Maybe Coach of the Year, you get your own coach's office.
It's not a bona fide sport yet at the school.
Okay.
It's still on the club level. So
table tennis, badminton, who else do you share with?
Cricket.
Okay.
And croquet.
Okay.
So we have a
lawn sports, some would say.
Right.
Some.
Okay.
Rude folks, mind. Right. Well. But you know, we share a desk in the quad.
Oh. So you don't. Your coach's office is an outside desk on the quad.
Yeah.
Next to the slackliners.
Yes.
Are they the
hacky sackers?
Do you not have actual chairs? Are they just those ab balls that you sit on in the quad?
We had two. They popped.
Too bad. Sorry to hear that. Wow. Well, that is amazing.
Big
it's great
things,
catching up with you about the frisbee
coaches.
Golf. Yeah, this is amazing. But unfortunately, we're going to have to segue now to our next segment.
Very selfishly, because we have big news coming out.
Well, yeah. And our next segment is related to that big news. So in anticipation of your arrival here, Reg and I are prepared. But your big announcement is that, why don't you tell everyone your big announcement? What are you going to be teaching next year?
Well, it is pretty exciting. I'm expanding out of just the English department. I've been hit up because of my vocabulary skills to begin to teach a class entitled Business Lingo 101. It's jargon for the business professional.
Ooh.
So,
could you one more time repeat that?
Business Lingo 101.
Business Lingo 101.
Business jargon.
Business jargon. Jargon.
For...
Business jargon. Oh, man.
what did he say? Business Lingo 101.
I mean, it's not.
Let me get my course catalog.
Yeah, it's yeah. Just make sure you get it right. Got it?
Business Lingo 101. Business jargon for the upcoming professional.
Okay. I'm going to try to say that now. Business Lingo 101, business jargon for the young professional.
Upcoming.
Upcoming professional.
Say it one more time.
God,
we're not ageist.
Why don't you, Reg, you go ahead.
Community college, see, we are not ageist.
You give this a try.
Business Lingo 101, colon, business jargon for the upcoming professional.
Thank you, Reg.
It's okay, listen, this is important to us. If we're trying to expand the business, we're trying to expand the podcasting business.
That's right.
Maybe you're going to expand the coffee business one day.
That's right.
We need to know how to communicate with these investors. We need to know how to talk their talk. We need to know how to slide into their world, if you will.
And so what we've done is we've all come up with some, Reg and I have come up with some phrases that we think are good business lingo terminology, but we're not exactly sure how to use them. So we're going to try to incorporate them into this conversation. And hopefully, Mark Thomas, as an expert, obviously you're going to be teaching a course on this. You can let us know if we're using some of these phrases correctly.
And in the right context. Yeah.
In the right context. And if I could just socialize an idea right here, I would like us all to kind of work with the idea of this together. Is that what that means? To socialize is it to make an idea more like a socialist regime, so that the idea that used to be more capitalist is now
more socialist? It means go get drinks. If you're going to have an idea and you're in the meeting and you say let's socialize this, that means taking off-site, get drinks, continue conversation over drinks.
I thought you were saying for me to go get you a drink like a gopher.
Also would have been
nice.
I am parched.
All right. So socializing an idea, I totally use that wrong. That means to take the idea and hash it out over cocktails.
Correct.
Oh, excellent.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. I've got one. If I was to say something like, this idea is exciting to me, but I really want to, take a deep dive on this one. How would I deep dive an idea?
Give me a sentence.
I just did. Okay.
I'm going to take a deep dive is not really a sentence that gives me much of the context.
I'm going to deep dive on this a little bit. I think what it means is that we're taking an idea and we're going to get to the root cause of it. Like if you were to pop a zit, you want to make sure you squeeze out the very essence of the zit so that it doesn't get infected or leave a lot of pus or something in it. Does that make sense? Like really squeeze the inside so it all shoots out.
That's great thinking. That's the exact opposite. With a deep dive, you want to be thinking up and out. If you're diving into a pool,
I see what you're saying.
You go up and then out. You never want to be coming straight back down where you're at.
So when people say deep dive, they literally mean take the idea, take it up and out.
And that way, when you hit the water, eventually you'll go in the deepest.
Yes.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Business wise, that makes a hell of a lot of sense.
To me, it does.
Just deep dive.
I'm sort of interested. Speaking of deep diving, if we could keep this conversation in the swim lane, because it feels like we're maybe getting off track a little bit. Is that correct? Did I keep that in the swim lane?
Oh, absolutely not. But what you did well was you were able to slide it in. And sometimes, one of the things I teach in the course is that it's not necessarily about the use of the jargon. It's your confidence in using the jargon. You did excellent there with the confidence.
So some people would have believed me that I knew what a swim lane
was. Sure, of course, yeah. Swim lane, you would think that has to do with going down the lane. Actually, it has to do with veering off.
Oh.
Right? Taking a new direction. Because swim lanes...
You're flapping your arms as a swimmer.
You're going. You're going to take it down the swim lane. You're going to do the same thing that everybody else has done before. No, that's not good business. Good business is we're going to turn left and we're going to go elsewhere down that swim lane.
All right. I just want to put a hard stop on that because I'm a little confused as to where we're going with these. So...
Ooh.
How did I do okay with that one?
The hard stuff.
Yeah, I'm assuming we're in a meeting. There's a lot of people around the table, and I just want to get my point across. Let's put a hard stop on this right now and kind of think about it.
To me, it seems like you're absolutely correct. I have a strong sense, however, that you're not using that word correctly. Mark Thomas?
Well, when you think about it, would you want to come across as the jerk who's putting a hard stop on something? Do you want to? As you're talking, you're not going to do hard stop.
Okay.
You're saying hard stop, but really what you're saying, let's keep going. Let's dive deeper. Let's really go out and up. with this idea.
Okay.
That's what hard stop means.
I mean, this is why business meetings seem to be so complicated.
I'm going to parachute in on this really quickly, and I'm just gently kind of come in here slowly and kind of work my way into the conversation.
Oh, I love the way you used it incorrectly. When you think about a parachute spreading out and dropping down, that's a great idea. But that's going to suffocate the meeting. And who wants to have the parachute come down and suffocate the meeting?
Very good point, yeah.
So when you're talking about parachuting in, you're talking about, I'm going to drop hard right on top of this meeting.
Get my point across, straight in there.
Instantly. Okay, so.
Stop the conversation hard. That's exactly what a parachute
what a parachuting in. Yeah. Is stopping hard on somebody else's idea, just injecting mine.
Here's the deal. These meetings, they have a lot of things going on. I think, honestly, if there's so many people around the table, it's probably best if we just operationalize the situation, give everybody a role, kind of figure out how we're going to process through the meeting, get to a good outcome.
Great thinking.
Thank you.
Operationalize.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well done.
When you think about operationalize, though, you want to bring that more into the center of you. So you want to take those operations on yourself so that there is no idea possible that anybody else is going to get the credit. You are operationalizing.
Okay,
like
so
you are performing your own appendectomy.
Colon micromanage.
Bingo. Colonoscopy done by self. Operational.
I'm going to ping you on that one real quick and just let you know that I'm not so sure that's correct. So I pinged you, and that means that I'm calling you out a little bit. Is that? I think that's what that means.
You're thinking about that like ping, like, as if there was a pong coming back. There's no ping and pong. No, ping somebody means you're going to recognize them in a meeting. I'm going to ping you, and that means it's that person's time to talk. When you're in that meeting, you're pitching, you're going, you're really selling your product, and all of a sudden you say, you know what? I'm going to ping you now.
It's like the talking stick. Once you get pinged, you're allowed to speak.
Yeah, prior to that, you wouldn't want to interject.
You know what? I think I might have read about it. It started with a driver head cover of a ping golf club, and that was what was being passed around. And so that's how that became a fact.
Well, you know, my envision when we talk to these investors is that we need to get the best possible things out of the meeting. So I really think we need to get rid of the low-hanging fruit and just kind of like keep it focused, get rid of the... get rid of the worst type of people. Am I using that phrase right?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
Nailed it.
Perfect. Let's do it. What else have we got?
Oh, I'm going to circle. You got me.
Now,
I'm going to circle back around with this and bring something back to the swim lane, which is really all over the place. So I was hoping I could circle back to you on the previous topic of the swim lane. Is that using circle back correctly?
Well, that would be a half circle. You want to come halfway back to something, or do you want to go all the way around? Because when you're talking about circling back, what you're saying is, let's talk about what we're talking right now.
Yes.
So we're talking about circles. Okay. Let's talk right now about circles. I want to circle back to the circle conversation. Don't ever in a conversation say, well, let's circle back to something and go back to something prior. Somebody's going to think you're an idiot in that conversation.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
I don't. Here's the thing. These meetings get very complicated, right? There's lots of things going on. Is what you're talking about real? Is what you're talking about made up? My question is, can we kind of somehow take a blue pill and get into the matrix of this thing and really figure out what's going on? I'm assuming that's what this card means.
The matrix.
Yeah, a matrix. That's a business term. Let's take the blue pill, go into the dream world, or whatever world it is. See
Viagra?
Neo. Yeah. Let's take a Viagra, group of guys, really get to the root of what's going on.
Gosh, get the blood flowing.
Get into the matrix. Mark?
That's a deep dive.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh,
okay.
Touche.
Out and up.
Anyone else? I'm all out.
Well, I just, I have one more here, and I've been working on my core competency, which I believe has something to do with sit-ups. I'm not positive about that, but I'm pretty sure core competency has to do with sitting, having your desk chair be one of those aforementioned ab balls.
Actually, that's a education term. Oh. Comes directly out of the Common Core, is a core competency. So this
the United States standards that are very controversial.
Yeah, but this is taking them to business, and this is where then you're sitting in there and you're saying, like, no, let's get down to the reading, the writing, The arithmetic.
The arithmetic.
The arithmetic. The three R's.
The third R.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're approaching the end of the meeting, right? We're getting down to brass tacks. That's another good term. But we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Maybe we're negotiating a deal. I'm going to say something like this. Guys, let's get our phones out. Turn it on airplane mode. Let's take this meeting offline. Let's take it offline. Let's figure it out.
So yeah, if I could not circle back with you on that one, but bring up something from the past, Mark Thomas, correct? I would think that that would be the same as socializing the idea, which is to take it out, you know, for cocktails. Take it offline. Take it out for cocktails.
Somebody's getting it. Somebody's getting it.
So that is what that means. Yeah.
So imagine you get 8 weeks, 3 hours a week of this type of professionalism. The small breakthrough you had today. Like where you're able to recognize
Thank
that
you.
It's not going to happen there in that meeting. It's going to happen when you socialize. It's going to happen when you take it offline. That's where the real business happens.
That's where the value add business comes.
That is the value add business right there.
Wow.
Nailed that term.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow. This is, I feel like, I don't know about you, Reginald, but I feel like I learned a ton during this segment.
Oh, I'm synergized.
And we are back. So, everyone doing okay? We're doing good?
Hey, I'm excited.
All right, good. I was hanging out with a buddy of mine over the weekend, and he asked me a serious question, which was, if I met a dog that was, I don't know, attacking me on the street, like a large animal, do I think I could beat that dog up? Now, I'm not that large of a man. 150 pounds, all muscle, but I thought about it very seriously. If a pit bull came after me, I thought about whether or not I could actually beat up a pit bull. And I'm not so sure I could. I mean, I think I would win, but I think I would be very badly injured in the process. Like, how would you beat up the dog? Like, what would be your method for beating up the dog?
Well, I just think it's hard to put yourself in that position if you haven't been in that kind of fight or flight mode.
Flight, yeah.
The actual reaction, like survivalist mode. Could you face, you know, a pit bull coming at you in an alley?
So the scenario is you're in an alley, you're backed into a corner, and you have an angry dog that will attack you. You cannot escape.
You have to go forward.
Right, you're in a fenced-in alley. the fence closed and locked like a prison door. And you have to fight this dog. We're not seeking to fight these animals
or
that I will tell you about.
It's like 1999 and you're in Thailand in this underground club and you've been like on the road. You've been like a rogue Navy SEAL for a while and you're kind of like off the rails. And all you do is fight animals in a pit for money.
It could be like that as well. Yeah, as likely a scenario. So anyway, my question to you is, do you think you could take on a 100-pound pit bull and win in a fight? And how would you do it? You have no weapons.
If I could just interject, I think they're completely different. Am I fighting this or am I a trained Navy SEAL who's been fighting animals? Because I think those are different.
That is a good point.
I think it'd be much better
if you were a trained Navy SEAL.
If I was a trained Navy SEAL, A. B, been fighting them for a long time.
Okay. So what
if we were going to say in your scenario, Henry, I'm there, and a pit bull comes at me.
Right. You've just been to the cardiologist, and you've been offered maybe a clean bill of health, but maybe not.
Pit bull?
Pit bull, 100 pounds.
I give myself
very angry
70% chance of being able to fight.
And now you're holding up your fist as if you would box the box the creature.
German Shepherd, 0% chance. I think a German Shepherd would tear my jugular out.
Oh, really? Are they more dangerous than a pit bull?
They're scary.
They're taller, aren't they?
Pit bull, I'd punch it in the nose.
It's not a shark. Isn't that what you do with sharks?
Right in the nose.
Well, yeah.
Just right in the nose.
But sharks,
I think you're going to come off, no matter what, you're going to come off with some serious injury because they're going to latch on. If a pit bull just latches on, maybe you sacrifice like a forearm because they clamp.
Right.
They literally clamp. And then you go to work with your thumbs in their eyes or something.
I would think you'd kick the thing. Like, your legs are stronger than anything
else,
and
keep it at body length
away. Just kick
away.
It in the belly.
But what
or
if
something?
It gets a hold of your leg?
Well, I know. That's bad.
Then you'd have to
start punching, I guess. But you couldn't pry its jaw
open. I'd get down
to its
level and punch it.
Like, and it would probably put up its dukes like a 1940s boxer or something.
Listen, I've watched some TV shows called The Dog Whisperer. If you just stay calm, look them in the eyes, and just talk to them in a very calming voice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could do the crocodile.
Oh, yeah. All right. So let's. What about a female deer?
In heat or not in heat?
Not in heat, but very angry at you. Because the deer thinks that you're trying to attack its offspring.
Bambi.
Yes. Specifically Bambi.
I'd be nervous because I feel like they can kick and like stamp all over you.
Right. I mean, I honestly think, what do you think you would win in a fight against a deer who's angry?
Do you see how much damage deers do to cars?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But they don't have horns, though. They don't go with their mouth either. So I feel like there's like an advantage there of like, it's not like the dog where like that's a fifth element.
Right.
Right.
And it's not,
the mouth is a fifth.
And you're saying not a stag. So we're not going to get pierced.
Right. No horns.
No antlers.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't even know how a deer would fight. Do they even fight? They must.
Oh yeah. There's great video out there.
Oh, yeah.
Of female deers like railing on people.
Really?
Yeah, you should look it up.
Anyway. Oh, do they run up like a, do they
like stomping?
I think
I would lose in a fight to a deer. I don't know if I could do it. How would you win?
You're quick and agile. You might be able to duck it side to side.
You just picture
Reg,
it. You picture
Reg, I don't think you'd
Floyd
have
Mayweather.
Too, I don't. Too tall.
No.
Too tall.
That you look thing. At the. You look at a deer and it, I picture like a very rough skit. Like you can't penetrate
right.
anything.
And I bet you their front hooves are like hammers. Like just going at you.
Just like two masonry hammers?
Yeah, that's the video. Yeah, you will enjoy it. Look it up.
What about a pig?
I probably could do a pig.
Yeah, I didn't ask that.
But certainly not the pigs that are trained to eat a Hannibal Lecter in that movie. Those are vicious.
Pigs are enormous, first of all. They're very low center of gravity.
But
and smart.
But not fast.
I know. Well, wild hog, like a wild boar.
Like a javelina?
Yeah. Like what's in Reg's pants.
Don't talk about my
sorry. What?
I could take a pig down.
No, you have a pet wild pig in your pants. No, I'm just in your pocket.
Someone once told me I nailed a Canadian pig. Canadian bacon.
All right.
Oh, you kill a pig, you can eat it.
Right. Well,
bonus. You could do the same with a deer, I guess.
So you think you'd have no problem with a pig? That's your final.
Oh, yeah. 100% I could take a pig.
You?
Let's put it to the test.
All right. Well, last one. An American eagle.
Protected?
There
or
is a...
are they protected by the country?
Yeah, but in this case, they're not because you're being attacked. So this is a mature bald eagle. So there is a ceiling in this scenario. So there's enough room for the thing to fly around, but it can't get away, and it really wants to attack you. Do you think you could...
So you've fallen into like an aviary.
Yeah.
Like in a zoo.
Yes. Could you... Do you think you could defeat... With your hands and feet and an American bald eagle who wanted to attack you.
In my opinion, it depends how quickly you can snap the wing and make it, put it on the ground.
Not fly. Okay. Yeah. That's a good call.
I think it depends on how quick it takes an eyeball out. Like if it takes one of my eyeballs out or both, like with like the first attack, I'm done. How do you fight without your eyes?
I know. I just think like I would cower like an infant the second that thing started flying at me.
Can you imagine the wings just swooping down at you?
I would be literally peeing my pants, cowering like a child if a bird came.
They're big.
Oh, they're huge. Yeah.
I don't think it would just be pee.
All right. Well,
so out of all those, we all agree probably a pig.
Probably a pig.
Probably not
a deer and maybe a dog.
Certainly not an eagle.
Okay, so we are ill-equipped humans in this world. What about a trained Navy SEAL? Could we defeat... This is a SEAL trained by the Navy to be a fighter. Do you think we could... in the water, we'd have to be. So
like a loose SEAL?
Like a loose SEAL, trained, yeah. I was thinking of how I was thinking of George Michael when I was thinking about the bird coming after me, and I would be like turning my shoulder.
I think if we're
doing that?
Yeah.
The issue would be they'd just drag us underwater.
Could they?
A seal?
Well, they don't have hands.
Or they slap you.
I bet it's the same thing. Like you punch them in the nose.
Is that your answer to anything that swims?
That's the only target that I could possibly think of.
punch it right in the nose.
Right in the nose. Well, where else are you going to punch?
I know. It's
in
full of blubber. Oh, it's full of blubber. Isn't it just, you're not going to affect it.
It'd be like
it.
Hitting a big bag. Yeah. You know?
I think the whole thing is you just have to aim higher because when it goes to open its mouth, you don't want to punch it in the mouth.
You get your hand stuck in there?
Yeah. So you got to aim a little bit higher towards the eyes.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, we at least, you know, we figured that out.
Well, now we know what we can and can't take on in the wild.
Right. In case we ever get a fence enclosed by a fence.
In SeaWorld.
All right. Well, we have another segment for you today, and that is the mouth. Can you, Reg, why don't you do this one?
This is called Watch Your Mouth. This has been all over the internet, and I managed to get my hands on a version of the game, and we're going to try and play it on air today and see how it goes.
Okay.
Mark, are you going to play?
I'm in.
Okay, so everyone's going to grab, one of these mouthpieces. Okay. I guess he goes one person at a time. Can you pass that over? I don't even know how these work.
So we're not all putting these mouthpieces
in. No, because we have to guess what the person's saying.
Okay. The last so Mark Thomas is already going right in there with his mouthpiece, so I guess he's going first.
Okay, so there's a stack of cards. I guess you have to say...
Looks like you're wearing headgear.
I guess you have to pick a card, say the phrase, and
we have to guess what it is that he's saying. Okay, so don't show us the card.
Into the mic as eloquently as possible.
Okay.
Phone call.
Phone call.
No. Can you say it again?
One more time.
Phone call.
Roll call? Ho call?
You're looking...
Phone call.
Poker?
Phone call.
Cocktail?
Oh, God. I
I just see so, intensely staring.
Phone
call. Pub crawl.
Pub crawl. Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be harder than it looks. All right, Hemi, it's your...
No, one more. We might as well. We're not going to keep taking these things in and out. There's a lot of saliva on that thing right now.
Okay, here we go.
No. Oh, he's passed.
Penny pincher.
Penny pincher.
Panty pincher. That's an English one. Panty pincher.
Oh, all right. So now I have to do this.
Oh my God.
Before I put this in, the last time I had this, I was at the dentist. I was getting a crown and they put one of these mouth spreaders thingies in there and I had a panic attack. So if I start freaking out, you'll know why.
Okay. Right. Get it in.
Oh God. Oh God.
Okay.
Lily got hooky with a large fall and poof, it was missing.
Okay, you're going to have to say that again. Lady got freaky and pooped in a where?
In a pitcher. Lily got hooky with a large fall and poof, it was missing.
Lady got freaky with a large pole and pooped
in the kitchen.
You look like you should be on a gangster movie. Ugh.
Baby got freaky with a barge pole and poof, it was missing. Okay, ready? Here's another one. Clumsy Fanny writer Rake Cripple. Clumsy family fanny biter makes purple. Ugh, so close. Clumsy fanny writer Rake Cripple.
I can't stop looking at your tongue. Your tongue. Clumsy.
Clumsy fanny biter.
Fanny biter.
Breaks pimple.
Breaks pimple.
All right, I'm done.
Should I put mine in?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it upside down?
I don't know.
Which way?
I don't know.
All right.
Each way was just extremely painful.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
Oh, God. My wig and Bertha was Rango Waitress.
My big aunt Bertha was Wrangle Waitress.
My wig aunt Bertha was Wrangle Waitress.
Oh, my big aunt Bertha wears bangled bracelets? Yes.
How do you get it? Please grab me a banana and a beer. Please grab my banana in the rear. Please
grab my Mia banana and a beer.
Yeah,
I feel like you're not that... It's not affecting you that much.
I don't know what that means about your normal speech, but...
Rocking red, slippery snakes.
Wrecking red, slippery snakes?
Rocking red, slippery seats.
Wrecking red, slippery seats?
No.
I have no idea. All right. Oh, rocking bed, slippery sheets.
Okay, last one.
All right.
Virgin, bison, penis.
Virgin,
bison,
something, peasin?
Penis.
Virgin, bison, penis.
Belgian, bison, penis? That's the first word. We have bison penis, correct?
Yes.
Belgian?
Bulging.
Virgin.
Bulging.
Bulging.
Wow.
All right. I have one last one.
You want
for
one
you
last
guys.
One? Okay.
Yeah. And I think it summarizes this whole thing.
Okay.
The sound, I know.
Big fat mess.
Big hot mess.
Big fat mess.
Big fat mess.
Yeah,
big fat
mess. Big fat mess.
Big fat mess.
Big fat mess.
Yeah.
And that just about sums it up.
Yep.
Well.
Wow. Well, that was fun. Oh, God. You're putting it back in.
Thank you very much for a great show. I don't even know if I've got that in right.
Yeah, I'm not sure we did.
That's what she said.
Well, yeah, it's been absolutely wonderful having you here, Mark Thomas.
It's been great to be here. Really appreciate it. Courses are available.
Okay.
So please sign up.
Yeah, good luck in the fall.
Thank you very much. Also, keep your calendars open for June 20th, 2018 championships
for next year.
Oh, yeah.
Next
year.
Ultimate Frisbee.
Yep. Yep.
Excellent. Well, that's great. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's show. We had to cut a little bit short, but we hope you had a good time. And we look forward to seeing you or talking to you next week.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
High Five Podcast. Bye.